Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming in, and we appreciate your visiting our sponsors and supporters, and just tell them you heard about them on the radio. Again, my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. We need to start the show off, unfortunately, on a sad note. This show, CCTA Wake Up Call Show, started back in 2015, January of 2015. By the way, all of the shows are archived out on the CC Taxpayers website. Started in January 15. Rick Hopkins was the original
creator
of the show, producer of the show, whatever else. And the sad news is Rick passed away this past week, and he will be sorely missed. Rick had been the chair of CCTA for a number of years, and then also was the chairman of the Craven County Republican Party, and he was very, very involved. He had worked at the base for a number of years. He had a photography business. I did a lot. Was always very active in whatever it took to try to help promote the Constitution, promote a good brand of government, and a godly brand of government. A very, very strong Christian, godly brand of government, and godly family relationships. He will be sorely missed. And again, just wanted to say. Just recognize that.
For people that are interested in attending his funeral, it's at 1 o'clock on Saturday at the Mayola Center.
Saturday the 21st at the Mayola Center, 1 o'clock. Yeah.
Will this air by then?
Yes,
it will air Saturday morning at 6.
Saturday morning. Okay, we've got to switch hats. We're going to talk about New York City, I think, as much as we dislike New York City. No, I grew up in New York City, but so that's okay.
New York's changed since you grew up.
Yes,
I went to school in New York City. New York has changed since.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
No.
Not in a good way. Well, I was the one that volunteered that our first conversation should be about the business about dogs in New York City, because one of Mamdani's administration Muslims tweeted that New York is coming to Islam. Therefore, you should not have dogs as indoor pets because they're filthy. And a Republican representative named Randy Fine,
yes,
tweeted, well, America would find that an easy choice if it's between dogs and Muslims.
And now the Democrats are threatening to kick him out of Congress for making that comment.
Another Democrat hoo-ha. Yes.
one of those two is trustworthy and the other is not necessarily.
Yeah. And the other thing that's going on, this is the camel's nose under the tent. The election of Mamdani is the camel's nose under the tent. The Muslim prayer call is now being broadcast from the mosques out to the city streets in New York.
5 times a day.
That's not a good thing.
No.
And closer to home, in Virginia, the lieutenant governor wants to pass a law against Islamophobia. Now, what that is about, under Sharia law, blasphemy is defined as anything you say that the person hearing it does not like. In other words, if I said to you that Mohammed was a pedophile because he married a nine-year-old girl, and you didn't like hearing that, I could be charged under Sharia law with blasphemy.
Well, that law is unconstitutional. It's a violation of your freedom of speech.
That is true. But this is the law that they have been trying, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation has been trying to get through the UN as part of their Universal Civil Rights Act, or whatever they're calling it, and trying to get that through Virginia. Hopefully it will be quickly declared unconstitutional.
Well, speaking of Islam getting their nose under the tent, you know, they've gone way down that road in Britain. Yes. And speaking of the dogs, they are looking to make public parks forbidden to dogs in order to make Muslims more comfortable.
Yes.
And then there's Muslim enclaves in the city where dogs are not allowed.
And those enclaves are in this country, too.
We have no-go zones.
In fact, there is an effort right down in Texas. There's a particular county, I think it's Gofton County, whatever it is. But there's a developer that wants to build this
huge
enclave, 20,000 houses or something, and it's being funded out of Dubai. Okay, Dubai being, of course, a country in the Middle East, and they are going to follow Sharia law. I mean, that's just the way it's heads. These people that these Muslims come, they have no inclination to become Americans as we've known them. And therefore, we ought to be much more restrictive about letting these people in. And unless, I wrote an article about this a while back. I said, if a Muslim comes to this country and he's not willing to swear to be allegiance to this country and to forswear Sharia law, because they're in conflict. You can't follow both. You got to choose one or the other. Then they shouldn't be admitted in. They should not be allowed. And they are fighting it in Texas. Congressman Chip Roy has been leading the fight there. And so they're trying to put a ban on Sharia law, which would stop these enclaves. But like you said, in Europe, this place, they check you as you go in. If you drive into that area, they have checkpoints, the Muslims.
Well, as Pat mentioned, too, free speech in Europe has been curtailed significantly because of Sharia law. And a Christian pastor was arrested in Bristol, England, for preaching a sermon because when he quoted the Bible, he was accused of inciting religious hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened. Elizabeth Sabatish Wolf was put on trial in Europe for a class that she was teaching where she called Mohammed a pedophile because he married a 9-year-old. And she's been on trial. She's been on appeal. I don't know if she's made it to jail yet, but that's what they're trying to do to her because she told the truth.
Well, you know, Rubio's speech at Munich got a lot of attention, as it should.
Yes.
And basically his speech was about standing up for Western culture against the Muslim hordes. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose our Western culture because, as Alan said, they're not compatible.
They're not. Well, you know, again, we're also taking a constitutional course on Saturday mornings, but the question of the Constitution is also backed up by what the Federalist Papers, even though they're not part of the Constitution, they sort of reveal the thinking process of the people behind writing the Constitution and what were the beliefs of those people. And the beliefs of the Sharia law are totally incompatible with the way that our Constitution gives us.
And freedom of speech, according to our Constitution, is a God-given right.
That's right. It's not. It's not given to us by the Constitution
or by the government.
By the government, it cannot be revoked by the government.
That's right.
There's also something we need to be aware of, and that is going back to the Quran. When the Muslims constitute 5% of the population, generally they blend in and they're okay. But as that percentage increases, they tend to exert their influence very strongly. And we're seeing that in Europe. We particularly saw it during the Christmas season when some of the Christmas markets in Germany and other places were either shut down or required extreme security.
Yeah.
Because of things that the Muslims had done against those.
And I went to the Christmas I went to the Christmas markets when I was in Germany, and they're wonderful. I bought a lot of handmade Christmas ornaments for the Christmas tree, and I also drank a lot of Glühwein. It's a mulled wine, and they serve it warm. And so while you're outside, and
it tastes good,
and your toes are freezing.
Sounds like stick to your ribs.
You
kind
don't,
of drink,
you know, glue you don't know the overall effect of it.
The
right?
glue vine goes right down to your toes, nice and toasty, warm. You can stay out there and buy more stuff.
But what we're seeing in Europe and what we're seeing in this country is on this open border, take in anybody. We need immigrants. And one of the things that troubles me about what the Trump administration is doing is right from the beginning, they talked about their emphasis was going to be to deport people who had previous criminal histories. I think that was a mistake. I think their effort right from the beginning should have been to deport every person who was in this country illegally, because that was a crime. And that is what we have to get out of here. We just can't focus on the criminals. And as we saw in Minneapolis, they went in and they identified some people. But there's still, I'm sure, a lot of illegal aliens in Minneapolis.
Well, they took over 4,000 out of there.
Yeah.
That's a nice chunk.
That's a nice chunk, but I'll bet there's over 100,000 of them in there.
They also found thousands of unaccompanied illegal
minors.
Alien minors.
150,000.
Yeah, that needed to be taken. The other thing to look at, too, is the birth rate in the Muslim population versus the birth rate in the American population, because they can take us over just on that.
Well, the Hispanics can, too.
Yeah, but the Hispanics don't have six wives.
You know, and it's interesting on the Hispanics. The biggest Hispanic battle is in the abortion rights, because most of those folks are family folks.
They're Catholics.
They're Catholics, and they're very strong birthright supporters.
I'm not sure this Pope is anti-abortion. I've heard some rumbling that he's going to announce a different view of it.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yes. That would be shocking, because the Catholic Church has always indicated that your existence as a person was at the moment of conception, not the moment of birth. So that's what they've said. It's
and that God
conception.
Knew you in the womb.
Yes, that's yes. conception. That's you then have a soul, and you're created as a human being. So that'll be a major change if he does.
And the Catholic Church was the real initial force in the pro-life movement in terms of demonstrations and everything else. I mean, they were the ones that were there, that were showing up at the abortion clinics and saying, don't do this.
Well, that's the reason why. I mean, if you believe that that's a human being at the moment of conception, then destroying it at any point during the pregnancy, it would be unacceptable.
Yeah. Homicide.
Yes, yeah.
Infanticide.
Folks, on that, you know, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, It's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're back. We're going to switch gears to Alan. What do you want to take us
to? Yeah, I just want to introduce the topic. I'm sure we all have thoughts about what's going on between our country and our efforts to curtail the threat that Iran brings to the not only to the Middle East, but to the whole world eventually. And as everybody knows, I think what I heard this morning was that one-third of our naval force is now over in the Middle East, getting ready to do what I don't know. I don't know. Trump hasn't specified exactly what he's going to do, but Iran is standing up, and even though they're supposedly talking, negotiating, I don't think anybody that's rational believes that you can trust Iran. They violated all the other agreements we've had with them. So I'm just concerned about where this is heading, and particularly about the, it seemed to be that Trump didn't promise the people that were, you know, standing up to the regime, but he implied that there was help going to be there for them.
And what's the point of the flotilla?
Yeah, well, it's this threat that we would attack and hit their missile bases. I guess the target would be their missile sites. And
but to go back to what you said, Trump had implied that he was sending help to the people that were protesting the regime, and what he did next was send the Navy. Well, you can't help the people standing up for the regime with missiles.
No, but if you
could take out some of the centers that of the people who are in Iran, the members of the government, the Republican Guard that are attacking these people. I guess you could do that. I don't know how else you'd do it, but you could, center your attack on some of the Republican Guard and the police or military bases, I guess.
And we know that they're running out of money. I mean, are they able to move their oil around? Are they able to get money?
No oil is available to get to them.
No oil is available?
Hasn't Venezuela been trying to ship oil to Iran?
But Iran sits on major.
It sits on major oil.
Yeah, but if you can't extract it.
If you can't extract it or if you can't ship it out of there.
It doesn't
become usable funds for them. And you remember not too many weeks ago, Tehran was essentially out of water.
Right.
I don't think any solutions come up.
And their currency has crashed.
And I think, if we can help their currency to crash even further, that's where the help will come for the people overtaking.
We also don't know to what extent Mossad has infiltrated the Republican Guard or anything else. We don't know who's working undercover within the country to try to bring down the government. We know if they get caught, they're going to have a really bad time. But we don't know how many people are in there undermining them.
You know, and I don't understand, you know, how a country that, let me rephrase that. We see in what's going on in Iran, the real problem with a country where I'm assuming that the people in Iran do not have weapons. That they not have guns.
That's true.
If that was happening in a country where the citizens were armed, they could start a revolution.
Yeah.
But as we saw, the people stood up and they were just protesting, and they were killed.
Just estimated
100,000 perhaps, killing their own citizens, their own people. It's hard to imagine. And as long as the military, the Republican Guard, or whatever they call themselves, stay on the side of the regime, I don't understand how the people in Iran could overthrow them.
I have read that some of the Republican Guard has refused to fire on the citizens.
Not enough.
Well, not enough.
130,000 dead so far.
Yeah. I don't know what happens next. I don't know what's going on under the radar. And that's my hope. But again, we have learned, I believe, that when we help overthrow a government, if the leadership is not there to create freedom, that we'll just have a bigger mess than what we started with. And we saw that in
Iraq.
Libya, Syria, Vietnam, going way back. Unless there is a structure there that can come in, I mean, America is so blessed that our founding fathers were the people that they were. Not every country has people like that.
Well, they've talked about the son of the Shah of Iran that was deposed, that he had indicated that he might be interested in perhaps going and forming a government and moving towards elections and that kind of stuff. Now, whether he would have enough following, I don't know. But
He has promised freedom, but when you look at the record of his father, it's a little scary.
And freedom does not necessarily mean a democracy or a republic. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah, his father was moving the country toward Western values, but his father
was a dictator.
Yes. So, and he does have a certain amount of support because Iran is not Arab. Iran is Persian. And the Muslim religion is not the native religion of Iran. Theirs is Astroism or something close to that. I don't remember the exact word. But so they're essentially being ruled by a foreign country.
Well, I think that Trump appears to be, I think, I don't know whether he really believes anymore that he can actually get an agreement or a deal. You know, he always talks about the art of the deal, which obviously diplomacy is always better than war. But he's dealing with some group that I don't understand that. These people are going to, if they did come to an agreement, you can't trust them to follow it anyway.
We're not even talking directly to them. We're talking to them through Amman.
Mm. So, Alan, you were going to bring up that great contrast of the United Nations.
The current head of the UN Human Rights Council is the Indonesian ambassador.
Well, that's why I wasn't sure what the name of this was, but they were elected the leader of some organization in the United Nations that one of their primary objective is human rights for women. So I'm not saying they're the head of what you just read, but they are, and so
Iran.
It makes nonsense.
It makes no sense at all. And I know there's discussion, our ambassador, I don't remember the name, but our ambassador, who seems very strong, there was folks saying, well, should we just get out? And he was saying that, you know, if we got out, we'd leave a void, somebody would fill that. They really are wanting to push for reform. And I know we all believe that that's a pipe dream sitting around this table. But I've actually moved to the camp of, if we could make a huge step in reform of some manner, I could move to that camp.
Well, we have leverage. Don't pay your dues.
Right. I agree with you.
What do they say? In July, they run out of money. But unfortunately, we've started repaying our dues.
We need to hold them accountable in some way, shape, or form.
Well, and I'm jumping around a little bit, but that there was a big forum over in Iran where the leader was talking to a group of supporters, and he said, well, you know, we're gonna put the ship in the bottom, you know, we're gonna put it in the bottom of the sea. So they're threatening to sink our ships while they say they're negotiating. Of course, we're moving ships over there to let them know that we're going to...
We might be serious about this.
We might take care of business.
And you know, the United Nations, when it was formed after World War II, I think it was kind of like the League of Nations after World War I, the idea that you could get people together and they could solve problems without resulting in war, which would be a wonderful thing. However, if you look at the history of the United Nations, they have been effective. Yeah. They didn't stop the Korean War. They didn't prevent the Vietnam War. They didn't prevent all these other wars that we've had. And now Russia just moves in and does what they want. Yeah. And here's what's happening. There was an article in the Epoch Times, which is a really great newspaper. Anybody interested in it? It gives a lot of editorial and global and national news. And they were talking about Germany. Germany is now rearming. They have a new process where they're going in, they're spending more money, which they probably weren't spending enough for a long time because they were relying on us. And, you know, Trump said, you got to defend yourselves, which is what they're doing. So they're expanding their army. And their motivation for their people is they want to stop the Russians. They see the Russians as a threat. They saw it when the Russians took over Crimea in 2014 and now going into Ukraine. And they believe that, you know, if they don't have enough strength, that Russia's just going to come and recreate the Soviet Union, push it all the way back to East Germany. And that may be Putin's goal. I don't know, but scary.
Well, it's funny. In Iran, somebody in Iran said, we've got our missiles so well hidden, you know, you can't get to them. And I think that's a challenge for Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to say to him.
But that could also be a lot of bull dookie because they might be very vulnerable and they say, no, we got to bury it underground. You know, you don't be able to take ours out.
You mean like your nuclear sites?
Yeah, right. You can't take those out either.
But Germany rearming, the thing that hit my mind when you said that was Germany is losing its culture. It's being overrun by immigrants. Who is going to be in charge of those arms in 5 years?
Who's going to be in their military?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a move in a lot of these Eastern Europe. Well, Germany's not an Eastern European country, but in Germany and obviously the countries towards Eastern Europe, that there's a move to the right. They're beginning to see what this stuff is bringing them. So it's kind of like the Make America Great Again movement. It's beginning to show up in some of these other countries, like Hungary.
Yeah.
They have very restrictive immigration policies.
Yes.
That's why we need to go back to getting rid, deporting all the illegals.
Yeah, I think going back to the way that NATO was founded, as mutual support, it needs to be mutual finance and mutual forces also. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're going to switch hats to EPA. What happened with the EPA today? What is the EPA?
The Environmental Protection Agency. In 2009, they made a decision that their endangerment finding declared that greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide, endanger public health and welfare. This was not a law. This was a decision made by an agency that unfortunately had tentacles that went all through with unbelievable sweeping regulation that added a whole lot of money to the cost of living in America for every American, messed up our washing machines, our shower heads, our dishwashers, and our cars. It was not constitutional, and President Trump has repealed the finding, saying that carbon dioxide is no longer a threat to our existence. And scientists will tell you that the more carbon dioxide you have in the atmosphere, the more plants you grow, the more people you can feed. Mm-hmm. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, Bill Maher, you know, the guy on HBO, he was making fun of the doing away with the endangerment finding by saying that the Republicans needed to go shut themselves in a garage and shut the door and leave the car on. And the criticism was, well, apparently he doesn't know the difference between carbon monoxide
and carbon dioxide. Yes.
Well, but we all exhale carbon dioxide. So if we want to ban it, we all have to stop breathing.
Well, that's what I always said to people that start in on that, on me. I go, well, hold your breath.
Well, then you get the situation where, you know, they were in Europe, they culled a lot of the cows because of the greenhouse effect of cow farts. So lock yourself in a garage overnight with a cow. See what happens. Not much. And lock yourself in a garage with a running car. And see what happens. Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Jesus, I don't think I'm going to do either one of those. But anyway, two things I'd like to comment on. Going back to what you were saying about the Endangerment Act, it was not only not constitutional, it was actually anti-constitutional. Because what happened was, it was the Endangerment Act declaring CO2 to be an existential threat to mankind was passed by the House of Representatives. It went to the Senate, and the Senate did not pass it, so it never became law. And then, it's like you said, then one of the agencies, they don't like what the majority in the Senate did, that is reject this Endangerment Act, so they enacted it anyway, which is this whole thing, yeah, as a rule, which is the point being is that how the bureaucrats in the Democrat administration are allowed to do whatever they want.
With a lot of financial implications, yeah.
And the second thing, getting back to this global warming stuff, if you look back historically, geologically in the world, there's been at least 8 documented cycles of ice ages and warming periods. Ice ages 1. This happened at least 8 times. The last one was about 10,000 years ago. And since then, the Earth has been warming naturally. So people look at the temperature in 2026, and they say, well, 100 years from now, it was cooler on the Earth. So therefore, mankind must be doing something to make things warmer. The reality of it is we were on a warming trend from the last ice age, which was 10,000 years ago. So it's been on a warming trend. And look at it this way. What would you rather have, a cooling trend or a warming trend? You're better off with a warming trend. the last ice age, the ice over New York City was a mile thick, which might not be a bad idea right now. If you could just put it right over New York, freeze them all. But anyway, the point being, all these natural things, if the people use them for their own purposes, political purposes.
Yeah, that's one thing. Mary has a website. What's up with that?
W-A-T-T-S. It's run by Anthony Watts, W-A-T-T-S, and it is strictly about global warming. The one thing I want to mention in reference to what you said, they have found green plant fossils under the ice in Greenland. That might be an indication that the climate has changed over the years.
Well, maybe they named it Greenland because it was green when the Vikings went and discovered it. That might have been a reason. Why would they call an ice-covered island Greenland? Yeah. Unless they were drinking too much.
Yeah, the quirk about the what's up with that was that they did a lot of pictures to show how in our modern society, when they're taking these sample temperatures, many of the places that are sampling temperatures are right next to an asphalt parking lot.
Yeah. Or next to a place where airplanes warm up. Their exhaust is blowing. Yeah,
you remember George Carlin used to make fun of the weather forecast? At the airport the temperature is, and he always made fun of that. Who cares what the temperature is at the airport? Nobody lives at the airport.
Nobody lives there.
Well, right. I remember many, many years ago, I was about to leave the house to pick up a child from school, and I turned on the radio to hear the weather report, and they're talking about this horrible monsoon rain that's coming down, and I'm looking out the window and the sun was shining. And we were living in Rhode Island at the time, and I realized I was listening to a Boston radio station. But I mean, you have to, you know.
And living in Rhode Island, we do remember having to shovel 18 inches of partly cloudy.
I've never forgiven John Dorsey for that.
That must be hard. It's hard to get it to go into the shovel.
That's right. That's funny. So what else happened with this EPA?
One thing I'm going to mention about that, the EPA getting rid of those regulations is supposed to save the average American $2,400 on a car.
Yeah, the endangerment finding was the basis for the electric car mandate. So now the foundation for that, so he canceled the mandate.
So Ford Motor Company can go back to making a profit.
Yeah. But now, so that's the federal mandate. But if you look at something like California has put a kibosh on every diesel fuel truck operating in California as of something like 2035, not too far in the future, you can't use a diesel truck out there. Well, how many ports will not be able to transport goods coming in from overseas?
I think there's been an executive order or something that says states are not allowed to make their own environmental laws. I'm pretty sure something is coming down that says they're supposed to be federal.
Well, manufacturers in this country make products for that'll pass muster in California because of the size of the market.
Yeah.
So if California bans something, it's banned for all of us.
That's right. We pay the price.
And we pay the price because these things cost a lot more.
Now, wasn't there something about California and the EPA and some of the wrappings on the stuff that Hilco was selling?
Oh, well, actually, there's a... we sold where I retired from, we sold goggles, like goggles for hockey players and a lot of different goggles for many sports, the shields for the football players and stuff like that. And the packaging that they came in, it was Proposition 16, I think, is out in California, where we had to put this could cause cancer and whatever else. Well, the problem is the shield was not covered by that. It was the piece of plastic that covered the shield that you were going to throw that piece of plastic away.
Well, you mean you weren't going to smoke it or eat it?
Smoking or drink it or eat it. No.
Shocker.
Some of the laws, and I realize that the people putting them out may have good intentions. We could probably debate that too. But some of them are so ridiculous that we need to go through the the U.S. legal code and just kick out about half of it. There is still, just as an example, and this isn't federal, this is state, but in Rhode Island, there is still a law that if you drive at night, there has to be someone 18 feet ahead of you running with a lantern. You want to try that?
No.
But, you know, you look at the EPA, and I remember back to times when they would go out to do a land survey right after a rainstorm. And they would come onto your property, and they'd find that you had a puddle. By the way, folks, we have a puddle next to our house, and it's been a couple of days since it's rained, and that finally will go away. We live on clay, so it doesn't go away quickly. But they would find that puddle, and they would declare that that's wetlands.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're under the EPA's.
Yeah, there was a famous case about a fight with a farmer over that.
Yeah, that all of a sudden you had no control over your own land because they could tell you what you could do with this wetland.
Well, I remember in Massachusetts, they were pushing the farmers off their farms because a farmer would go to sell his property, and he had a bunch of acreage, and the road was maybe 3/4 of a mile from his house, you know, the main road. And in Massachusetts, you can't sell a house if you don't have a sewer. And if
Title V, you
Title V, you have to. So if the sewer was going by on that road, he would have to pay for the 3/4 of a mile pipe to get to that sewer. Now, that's a pretty major expense.
Well, another thing, an example of what happened, and this happened to me because several years ago, I owned a 55-acre farm. And in that farm, there was a stream that ran pretty much right through the center of it. And the EPA had rules that you could not do any farming or construction, put up fences, anything, within a certain number of feet of that stream. They called the riparian barriers, what they called it. And it really restricts, if you look at the amount of land that you lose, if you have a piece of property and there's a stream going through it and you have to go 150 feet on both sides, that's a lot of your property that you can't do anything with.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
That, like Pat was saying, that was overridden with recently. There was a court case about that.
And that's not a law. That's somebody's regulation.
That's the EPA again.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember when all those EPA people were crying when Trump got elected the first time? They were all, oh, my God.
They're still crying.
Yeah. And then when he got elected this time, they went under cover and found one of the guys saying we were just pushing money out the door before Trump took over. And that's why Stacey Abrams got, what, $2 million for a foundation she started that had $100 in receipts?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for listening.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Where are we going to go?
As we are recording this, the government is partially shut down, should I say?
Yeah.
And it's
not shut down, but unpaid.
Well, partially shut down. DHS is shut down.
And it's
FEMA is shut down.
DHS is paid till the end of the year.
No. No. ICE is paid till 2027 under the big beautiful bill. But DHS, FEMA, FAA, TSA, Coast Guard.
So they're all working without pay.
Right.
And I'm just hoping that the folks watching our representatives and senators coming back from Germany say, you can't come back into this country. We're shut down.
Well, the shutdown doesn't even make any sense because the Democrats said they were shutting down the government to get rid of the ICE funding, but it doesn't affect ICE funding. So their stated reason for shutting down the government is a bunch of hoo-ha.
Is it possible that they're shutting down the government just because they're running out of ways to throw a wrench into Trump's programs, and they're getting desperate?
Well, I think that's part of it. And it does reflect back on this notion about the filibuster. Because if it wasn't for the filibuster rule, meaning that you've got to have 60 votes in order to pass something in the Senate, and where it used to be, and that's not in the Constitution, by the way. There's no requirement
Senate
that it has
rule.
To be 60. It is strictly a Senate rule. In fact, filibuster wasn't even used until 1837, and when they started using it, it was basically when people who opposed a certain legislative bill, they would just get up and start talking and talking and talking and shut everything down, and as long as they continued to talk. And in 1917, they passed what they called the Cloture Act, C-L-O-T-U-R-E, Cloture. And basically what that did was allowed a way of overcoming and stopping people from just standing up and talking all the time. But the problem with it, what happened was, it used to be you used to have to stand up and talk. In other words, if they had the filibuster like it was in 1837, the Democrats would have to be talking all this time since they shut the government down.
Folks, go back and watch the movie. Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
But when they passed that Cloture Act, what happened was now they don't have to actually stand up and filibuster, talk against something. They just have to express an intention of doing it. And by expressing an intention, that's of doing it. And that's what they're able to shut it down. But it really gets to the idea that the filibuster allows the will of the majority to be overridden by the minority is what it really boils down to. So you could have something like the SAVE Act, where I think it's like 80-some-odd percent of
84.
People in the country believe that you should have a photo ID to vote and you should have proof of citizenship. I mean, any rational person. But the SAVE Act that they're opposing is being blocked by the filibuster. So now you have something that obvious that the majority of people, not only in the Senate, but the majority of people in the whole country are supportive, and you got this filibuster rule that's stopping it.
Well, John Thune could do something about it, but he refuses to.
Well, there was a speaking filibuster of the Civil Rights Act when that came up in the 60s. And according to the filibuster speaking rules, each senator gets to talk twice. So eventually you run out of senators. And with the age of our current Senate, I don't know how long each one of them would last. I think that one lasted 60 days. But by making it a speaking filibuster, you could get past it.
Well, yeah, and they'd have to be speaking sense. You know, they'd have to be making their argument for why they're opposed to the SAVE Act. And the two reasons they've given us so far are stupid. Married women can't vote because they wouldn't be able to get a new driver's license with their married name on it. We've been doing that for how many decades?
Yeah, we've been okay with it.
Yeah, I think we've all learned how to do that.
And they can hide what they're doing is what you're just saying, because, you know, when the speaking situation, they had to stand up and be identified. Now they just vote secretly, and you don't know who's voted for what side.
Yes.
Understand, they vote using a photo ID.
Yeah. Well, the other reason they've given is that this is Jim Crow 2.0. Well, 74% of black people say they're for voter ID, and they're not voting for Jim Crow. And to pretend that black people can't get an ID for themselves is ridiculous.
And in places where voter ID has been allowed for voting, the black participation in voting has gone up.
Well, it went up in Georgia for the two generations following their ID requirement for voting. But the Democrats are conflating two different things. One is voter registration, which requires you to show citizenship. The voter ID is just your driver's license. Two different things.
And actually, if you go back, I don't know, 20, 30 years, I would suspect that a large number of Americans had ID cards because you couldn't rent a video without one.
Well, you, as far as the proving that you're a citizen, one of the Democrat arguments is so many Americans don't know how to get their birth certificate. What?
Do you know where you were born? You go to the city hall where you were born.
You just go online. You can order them online.
That's true.
And something else that I think is important is the Board of Elections provides
free IDs.
So if you can get there to vote, you should be able to get there to get your ID.
But you won't be on the voter list until you register.
I understand. But my point is, the same place that you go to vote is the same place you can get a free ID. You have to have order to that. But
you know, it troubles me, too. If you look at the registration form, you go to register to vote in Craven County in North Carolina, you get a form. And at the top of that form, they ask you a question. Are you a citizen? And you check it, yes, or you check no. They don't ask for any proof, not at the time you're registering. Now, whether anybody takes that and verifies your citizenship somewhere in Raleigh or whatever, I don't know.
No.
But there's no requirement to prove, right now, to prove citizenship.
Well, don't forget the Motor Voter Act. When you go to get your driver's license, they ask you if you're a citizen, if you want to be registered to vote, and they don't require any proof that you're a citizen.
That's ridiculous.
And somebody went undercover in New York. I read this morning. And the guy that was behind the counter said, we take anybody who comes in and we register them to vote. We don't ask any questions and we don't care.
I'd like to bring up this issue about this mass shooting that took place. Was it Rhode Island?
Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island at a hockey game where this transgender male, meaning that he was born a male and now he's transgendering it to a female, And he apparently had some sort of conflict with his ex-wife and his family, and he went to the hockey game. He shot and killed his wife, his son,
his
daughter also, three people. And then there were a few other people that were also wounded.
Right.
And so it was a pretty significant thing. Now, he fortunately wound up taking his own life there, so we don't have to put up with him anymore.
Yeah.
But it does bring up this issue about transgender people's mental state and whether these people really have a mental disorder, because this kind of unpredictable, violent behavior is more related to mental illness. For example, why it's important. Let's say you're in a state in North Carolina, you want to go get a pistol permit, okay? If you're mentally ill, you're not going to get it. If you have a history of mental illness, significant mental, I'm not talking about a little anxiety or a little depression. I'm talking about a significant mental illness, psychotic, schizophrenia, something like that. But if you're transgender, that's fine, because they don't want us to consider it a mental illness anymore. But if you look at the kind of decisions that these people make to change your gender, it used to be a definable mental illness, gender dysphoria, and now they're trying to do away with that. And I think that's contributing to some of these mass shootings, because we've had a number of them. This is not the first transgender person.
They took gender dysphoria out of the psychiatric diagnostic manual because of the libs on the council.
Yep.
And the fact that we've had so many recent transgender shootings and that the violence seems to be ratcheting up is a danger. And this is not something that we can ignore any longer.
Well, it's not only are you dealing with mental illness, you're dealing with a drug cocktail put into these people. You are mixing testosterone and PMS. Nobody can handle that combination.
Well, just because you grow your hair and put lipstick on and wear a dress doesn't mean you're a woman.
And according to the news report that I'm looking at, he killed his ex-wife and his son and wounded others.
What happened to his daughter?
One of his daughters came out of the hospital and was talking to the police.
Okay. Yeah. So he wounded the daughter. All right.
The interview, she said that she felt the shooter was looking at her. I was going to be next. And then the guy that tackled him and got the gun in another direction.
Well, I read that he brought two pink pistols and a pink holster with him. So this guy was pretty intent on being female.
And if you looked at him, there was no way.
I think part of this and where the hostility and violence comes from is these transgender people want you to accept them as they've changed. And when you don't accept them, that is where the hostility comes from. Mm-hmm. And that's where the violence comes from. And let me give you an example. This has happened in my family. I have a daughter that married a nice guy. They live in the United States. But his sister lives overseas in England. She married this guy. Over in England, an English guy. They had a little baby. And the baby was about 3 years old. And this guy comes up and starts telling his wife he wants to be a woman. He wants to change. So he starts dressing as a woman and so on. She knew nothing about this when they got married. Now the problem is he and his wife, they want to visit our family here in this country. So my daughter was in a situation where, do I take my children to a family event and see some guy walking around pretending to be a woman? And when you don't accept it, they get angry at you. And they got angry at my daughter and my son-in-law, this guy that was transitioning, because he wanted to come over and dress like a woman and so on. Fortunately, my son-in-law and my daughter just said, we're not bringing our kids there. But that's where the hostility and the anger comes from, not other people not accepting their bizarreness.
Now, is it accepting or even elevating to worshiping the fact that they've made this change?
I don't know about worshiping. They certainly might yet accept it, which I don't.
I think we're about out of time, folks. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. We appreciate your visiting our sponsors and supporters. Have a great day.